The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
I'm establishing new vetting measures to keep radical Islamic terrorists out of the United States of America. We don't want them here.
He's free! Set the refugees free!
What we saw yesterday were families being torn apart. What we saw yesterday was violations of the Constitution. We don't treat different people different ways. We don't impose a religious test. And though folks may want to tell us this is not a Muslim ban, I'll tell you who thinks it's a Muslim ban. Muslims think it's a Muslim ban. Those who want a Muslim ban, like little boy Flynn and David Duke, the former KKK leader, are celebrating it as a Muslim ban. And those of us who don't want a Muslim ban see it as such.
I just can't even imagine this happening in our country.
It's just incredibly unjust, it's un-American, and we will not allow that to happen.
This really is an extraordinary measure, and it requires every ounce of opposition that we can muster.
Good evening, fellow SAG-AFTRA members and everyone at home, and everyone in airports that belong in my America. You are a part of the fabric of who we are, and we love you and we welcome you.
We will, as per Chief Jim Hopper, punch some people in the face when they seek to destroy the weak and the disenfranchised and the marginalized. And we will do it all with soul, with heart.
And because I love this country, I am horrified by its blemishes. And this immigrant ban is a blemish, and it is un-American.
Well, there you go. All of that in response to Donald Trump signing an executive order late on Friday, an order that temporarily restricts the immigration of refugees coming into the United States from seven Muslim countries. Countries known for exporting jihadists, by the way. Iran, Iraq, Syria, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Yemen. And as you just heard, in response to that order over the weekend, the radical left, collectively, they lost their mind. They lost their mind. The outrage now that they have. This from Donald Trump. This was the announcement that he made, I believe Friday or maybe following up on Saturday, clip one.
I'm establishing new vetting measures to keep radical Islamic terrorists out of the United States of America. We don't want them here.
Now, there may have been some things that the administration could have done to roll this out better. Certainly, it hasn't done everything perfectly. But I just want to focus for a moment on the reaction, the hysterical reaction. CNN had a huge headline, all capitals, shockwaves. Shockwaves. The world's stunned, they said. They're stunned, Senator Schumer. He talked about tears running down the cheeks of the Statue of Liberty. The Huffington Post had a picture of Lady Liberty upside down underneath a headline. Discrimination Nation. That's what America has become in the eyes of the Huffington Post. Now there's no mention of a Muslim ban in Mr. Trump's executive order, but you'd never know it, judging by all of this hysteria. You'd never know it. And furthermore, where was the outrage when President Obama used his pen and phone to ban Iraqi refugees in 2011? Or what about Syrian refugees? It wasn't until late in his administration, 2015, 2016, that he finally lifted the ban on refugees coming from Syria. On this program, we covered last week or maybe the week before. I forget. I guess it was a couple weeks now. Time's flying here. But one of his final acts as president, President Obama, was to abolish wet foot, dry foot. that policy that ensured safe haven for Cuban refugees, those fleeing Castro's prison. And so he's making it harder for Cuban refugees to get into the United States because he wants to give the Castro regime everything it wants, everything it's demanded. But all through that previous administration, I mean, it was as if he could do no wrong. If he wanted a ban, then it must be needed. If he wanted a ban, then it was justified. Here, it's not even a ban. It's a temporary thing. Temporary restrictions. And yet you look at the hysteria in the mainstream media. It's as if Donald Trump is Adolf Hitler and doing what you can to restrict the immigration flow until you, as he said in his campaign, figure out what's going on. Or until you get the screening process down. Or until you improve it. To do these kinds of things now, evidently, is something worse than Nazism. Of course, Mr. Trump has good reason to be concerned about this jihadist infiltration. Those trying to work their way into refugee camps, in disguise, in hopes that they can sneak into the United States or sneak into Europe through the cracks in the immigration process. I mean, the terrorists themselves have openly bragged about doing this. They've openly stated our objective here is to pretend to be refugees so that we can get into Europe and America, so that we can attack them. And we've gotten attacked multiple times. Europe's been hit hard. America's been hit hard. And as this is how David French put it over at National Review, given the terrible track record, the terrible recent track record of completed and attempted terror attacks by Muslim immigrants, it's clear that our current approach is inadequate to control the threat. I mean, isn't that clear? Shouldn't there be some media coverage on that point? The fact that something's not working. The fact that border security is breaking down. French says, unless we want to simply accept Muslim immigrant terror as a fact of life, a short-term ban on entry from problematic countries combined with a systematic review of our security procedures is both reasonable and prudent. But that's just one lone commentator over at National Review. As for the rest, it's a hysterical reaction. To confront this threat. Well, you heard it there. Mr. Trump gave this executive order directing his government agencies, the Department of Homeland Security and others, to review the process for screening refugees. And so those seven nations, refugees coming from those seven nations, that's been put on hold. And French points out correctly in his piece that what action the president took Friday is actually backing down dramatically from some of his campaign promises. As I said at the top, I mean, you can go right through that executive order and nowhere will you see anything like a Muslim ban, as it was sometimes, I guess, floated out on the campaign trail. Here again is Donald Trump over the weekend, clip two.
It's not a Muslim ban, but we were totally prepared. It's working out very nicely. You see it at the airports, you see it all over. It's working out very nicely. And we're going to have a very, very strict ban, and we're going to have extreme vetting, which we should have had in this country for many years.
Well, I don't know if it's been working out very nicely, as he said. There has been some confusion in carrying out the order. But having the vetting process, an extreme vetting process, I mean, that is something that America and every other nation should have and should have had for years. here again. Where was the outrage during the Obama administration? Where was the outrage from Hollywood? How come the Hollywood actors didn't get into gear when he eliminated wet foot, dry foot? Trump's limited the number of refugees that the U.S. takes in each year to about 50,000 refugees, 50,000 people, which is about where it stood throughout George W. Bush's presidency. And it was the same for the first couple of years of Mr. Obama's as well. Now, he increased it as time went on. French says here, the bottom line is that Trump is improving security screening and intends to admit refugees at close to the average rate of the 15 years before Obama's dramatic expansion in 2016. So Mr. Obama dramatically expanded it just in the last year of his presidency, and Mr. Trump's taking it back to what it's been on average for the past 15 years. I mean, since 9/11, pretty much. And so then he comes into office and he puts it on hold in these seven nations so that we can figure out what we're doing or not doing. Notice what French went on to say at National Review. He says, while the Syrian civil war was raging, ISIS was rising, and refugees were swamping Syria's neighbors and surging into Europe. The Obama administration let in less than a trickle of refugees. Only in the closing days of his administration did President Obama reverse course in numbers insufficient to make a dent in the overall crisis, by the way. And now the Democrats have the audacity to tweet out pictures of bleeding Syrian children. Now all of a sudden they care about the children in Syria. Now all of a sudden they're on their soapbox. Now the Statue of Liberty is crying. He said it's particularly gross to see this display when the Obama administration's deliberate decision to leaving a yawning power vacuum, in part through its Iraq withdrawal and in part through its dithering throughout the Syrian civil war, exacerbated the refugee crisis in the first place. I mean, how do we get all these refugees? If you want to go to root causes, how do we get to this point? Where did it start? No one can fix it. The Obama administration obviously didn't fix it. As he brings out here, he made it worse in so many ways. And sadly, the Trump administration, it's not going to fix it either. Look at how it's dividing America. Well, America was divided going in. What you saw over the weekend, if you watched any of the news, you saw two Americas. And it's bringing America down. It's bringing the United States down. As Jesus said, a kingdom divided cannot stand. It's brought to desolation. That's what Jesus Christ said. We can go on fooling ourselves under the delusion that diversity is somehow a strength. Well, it's getting so diverse. It's getting so divided. We're not far away from both sides taking to the streets, taking matters into their own hands. And the media there, helpfully, just pouring fuel on the flames, as per usual. It says here in this French article, there was genocide on Obama's watch, and his tiny trickle of Syrian refugees hardly makes up for the grotesque negligence of abandoning Iraq and his years-long mishandling of the emerging Syrian crisis. Root causes. When we know our enemy is seeking to strike America and its allies through the refugee population, when we know they've succeeded in Europe, and when the administration has doubts about our ability to adequately vet the refugees we admit into this nation, a pause is again not just prudent, but arguably necessary. Where's that kind of coverage in all the hysteria What about the threats? What about the attacks? What about what's happened in Europe over the last year? It says here, it's important that we provide sufficient aid and protection to keep refugees safe and healthy in place. But it's not necessary to bring Syrians to the United States to fulfill our vital moral obligations. We can't just open the doors and let everyone in as if that's going to solve the problems. It exposes us to threats. That's what he's saying. Trump's order was not signed in a vacuum, French writes. Look at the Heritage Foundation's interactive timeline of Islamist terror plots since 9/11. Note the dramatic increase in planned and executed attacks since 2015. Now is not the time for complacency. Now is the time to take a fresh look at our border control and immigration policies. Trump's order isn't a betrayal of American values. Applied correctly and competently, it can represent a promising fresh start and a prelude to new policies that protect our nation while still maintaining American compassion and preserving American friendships. Well, but that's not the way that it's being interpreted. At home or abroad. I mean, I looked at the Telegraph yesterday. The Telegraph right here in the UK. It's the same of what so many are reading and seeing in the United States. Where was the outrage previously? As I say, the Trump administration, I think, could have rolled this out a lot better. And there's certain parts of the order that have been misinterpreted by government agencies. But still, where is the major media trying to first get to the facts, to first report the facts? Instead, they're there to just blow it all up. So irresponsible, so reckless, so damaging. And so yet again, the truth is the biggest casualty of all here. And thinking about this morning, I just thought, I told the students in epistles class, look at the problems that the United States is actually facing. The terrorist strikes, as I said. The threat of terrorism, but then also just the breakdown of our society, the breakdown of family, the spread of divorce and crime and violence and hatred and racism. And this is the big, well, this is what we want to really get up on the rooftop and shout about. In one sense, it's not as big of a deal as it's made out to be. In another sense, it is, though. Because, as I said earlier, it really does expose the great division in our land. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every nation divided against itself can't stand. Every city or house divided, Jesus said. If it's divided against itself, it cannot stand. The prophet Amos said, can two walk together except they be agreed? How can the United States walk together going forward? As I say, in one sense, this is a huge, huge problem because it exposes the greatest threat facing the United States. That's destruction from within. And it's exposing us to another threat. That's destruction coming from without. But this house divided. My father gave a program on that on the Key of David. This is back in 2011, based upon some of Abraham Lincoln's statements. Of course, when he talked about a house divided, he was paraphrasing from Jesus' Gospels, the Gospels about Jesus Christ's ministry. He was quoting from Jesus Christ himself. Here's what my father had to say in 2011, clip 3.
But I want to show you something that Jesus Christ said about that very problem that is burdening America and and Britain and Israel, all three nations. And I want to, and he also, though, Christ gives a specific solution to that problem. And there is a solution. Notice verse 25 of Matthew chapter 12. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Now, if you have a divided house, it's going to lead to desolation. That means, according to the Thayer's lexicon, to lay waste, to ruin, to reduce to nothing. That's how bad it is. It is that deadly. And if you're divided against yourself, it's going to come to desolation unless something is done. Something has to be done to solve this problem. You see, the gravest danger is not from the enemies without. It's from bitter division from within. That's the real problem. That's worse than all of them.
That's the worst danger of all. I mean, on this program, we talk a lot about those dangers coming from the outside and so many prophecies that discuss that. But here is the gravest danger of all. Division and strife from within. Division and strife. Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong in The Missing Dimension in Sex, he talked about the threat, the immoral breakdown of the United States. Gross immorality. He said it posed a greater threat to the United States or to Western nations than even the hydrogen bomb. And so look at this division. My father went on to say in that program that he's never seen it this divided. That was from 2011. I mean, that wasn't that long ago. But look at where we are today, 2017, and consider how dangerous this moment is. Look at the division, the enemy from within. Well, and then it opens the door for enemies from without to capitalize on that weakness. And they are swirling. I mean, nations that are consumed by internal division and strife, they become a prey to outside forces. That's just a fact of history. And we also know what Bible prophecy has to say, that we're moving into a time described in the Bible as the times of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles, a time when that, as we've talked about so often, that Anglo-American global dominance, they're losing that dominance. We've lost it, in fact. And it's giving way to domination brought on by the non-English-speaking power blocks. That's what's happening. And so many of those peoples and so many of those nations, they are cheering America's demise. They're cheering it on. You think if Vladimir Putin or if the mullahs in Iran or if the leaders, pick any nation, Mexico, If they put any kind of border security in place and said, you know what, 120 days, we're going to temporarily halt people coming in from these seven nations and just get our screening process down so that we can know what we're doing. You think the world would be outraged? You think the world would be up in arms? You think the world would be upset with Vladimir Putin? I mean, he's crossing borders of other countries, using his military to overpower peoples. And he just waltzes in and, well, as you heard on Trumpet Hour last week, setting up a base there, a naval base in Syria. He's spreading his influence and power. It's because of this huge vacuum that's there in the region, the Middle East. No American power or influence there. We're withdrawn. We're isolated now. We've got to deal with our own problems at home. And so a new president comes on the scene and says, well, let's start with border security. And well, judging by the reaction in his own media, his own nation, you would think he's Adolf Hitler. What is going on? I mean, how do you explain this? I know how to explain it. And I think you, as a listener, you know how we explain it. There is a real spirit world. The devil exists. And he's been cast down to this earth, like Revelation 12 says. And he is broadcasting. He has surcharged the air with his attitudes and moods, with his thoughts, with his anger, with his hatred. And he is stirring it up, something fierce. And here we are, headed right into the times of the Gentiles, and America's lost all of this geopolitical influence and leadership. And so has Britain, long before America has, in fact. And meanwhile, you see these forces gathering. You see these ascendant powers. You see the rod of God's anger. Study Isaiah 10. God's preparing it to punish our peoples for our many sins. Yet you're not going to hear anyone get up on a soapbox or run up to the mic at an award show and talk about the sins in our nations. You're not going to hear anyone decry the commandment breaking that goes on routinely, that's celebrated, in fact. Times of the Gentiles, the rod of God's anger, I mean, it's about to be administered. It's rising fast in Germany, as you'll hear in the next segment. And that wrath is coming upon our peoples. So that we can learn the greatest lesson in our history, that it's not going to work our way. The only way it works is if we submit to the will and the direction of God Almighty. The only way that it's going to work is if we come under His authority, His government. The only way it works is if we turn to Him in deep repentance and learn to live the way of peace and learn to live the way of unity and love and unselfish outflowing concern. Thank God that's coming. A unified society, a world unified under the government rule of Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords at His return. Then, for the first time in the world's history, nations will be not divided, nations will be united. They'll be united under that one global godly government that will never fall. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Don't forget to email the program. I didn't mention that at the top, but last week we got through quite a few of your emails, and we received quite a few more over the weekend. If we have time later on in the show, we might get to a few of those. Send those comments to td@kpcg.fm. I should also note that what we discussed here in this first segment, we're hoping to post here at thetrumpet.com within the next hour or so. It may already be up as far as I know, but it is up. Thumbs up from the booth. An article on this subject, this division in America, these two Americas. Make sure if you'd like to read more on this subject that you go today and visit thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Flurry's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily Radio Show airs every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time on KPCG 101.3 FM in Edmond, Oklahoma.
On Friday, Brad McDonald posted an article also at thetrumpet.com, and I think that might have gotten buried pretty quickly from some of the other things that we produce each weekend. But I'd encourage you to go back and to look for Trump Germany and KT zu Gutenberg. That was posted on January 27th. And as he says there in his subhead, Carl Theodor zu Gutenberg might be just the man to lead Germany and Europe in the Donald Trump era. I mean, as I said in the last segment, There's plenty to talk about with respect to the reaction over the weekend on that executive order, and it does certainly expose the deep, deep divisions, the bitter divide in America. And yet at the same time, when you consider what's happening in the world, when you consider the dangers America is facing and the problems that America has, you would think there'd be people more concerned about some other things. Brad McDonald says here in this piece, who is Donald J. Trump and how will his presidency affect my nation? This question dominates the minds of world leaders and statesmen right now. And no country is thinking about this more than Germany. That's the thing. When you think about that prophecy in Isaiah 10 and the rod of God's anger, it's rising fast. It's rising now. Mr. McDonald says here, perhaps the most valuable asset in Berlin these days and in every capital city of the world over is an informed understanding of United States President Donald Trump and his true intentions. Germany's leaders are deeply concerned and wondering, is Trump serious about imposing tariffs on German imports into America? Does he really dislike the European Union and seek its disintegration? How deep is his affection for President Vladimir Putin? And how much will he empower the Kremlin? Does Mr. Trump really consider NATO obsolete and plan to initiate a United States retreat from Europe? It says for Germany and Europe, these are existential issues. Each issue underpins the post-World War II international system. This world order isn't exactly perfect, and there's nothing wrong with reconsidering these pillar issues. But overhauling 70 years of international relations must be done cautiously, he says, thoughtfully, and in partnership with allies. One misstep, and the international order crumbles. Well, Brad McDonald goes on to say that Europe, especially Germany, is terrified. Especially Germany. Germany is stirring. There are rumblings in Germany. That's what this article is about. Go back and look for that at thetrumpet.com. Trump, Germany, and KT zu Gutenberg. And as you do, I'll just draw your attention to Spiegel. I mean, this appeared the next day at Spiegel. Brad McDonald, by the way, quotes a fair bit from another article. Spiegel's, as I said last week, is one of the most, if not the most, influential news magazines in Germany. And this article, coming a day after Brad McDonald's, is about the new age of protectionism. And Spiegel says Trump's attack on Germany and the global economy, that's the way Spiegel sees it. This is an attack. This is an attack on Germany. And it says here some of the same things that Mr. McDonald brought out in his piece the day before. Senior executives in Germany have been keeping close tabs on the stream of visitors heading for an audience with Trump, full of concern and nervous about what the future might hold. They've refrained from speaking about Trump publicly, but internally, it's the only thing that they're talking about. It's the only thing they're talking about. Maybe someone over there at Spiegel's reading thetrumpet.com or following Brad McDonald's writings. But it says further on in this piece, this is an attack on the German model. This is an attack on Germany's economy. The consequences, Spiegel says, the consequences of this radical political shift are not limited to the United States. When the world's largest and most influential economy makes changes, the shockwaves can be felt everywhere. A new economic world order is coming into being, and it is an attack on the German model. That's the way Germany sees this. That's the way the senior executives in Germany are viewing this. This is an attack on the German model. Germany's under attack right now. It says here, in his campaign speeches and tirades against globalization, Trump primarily identified China and Mexico as his enemies. But Germany, and we've been saying this, that's the thing. It's true, the media is just there talking about China and Mexico because they're totally blind to the big story. And this is the big story. Germany is right there with them. Trump primarily identified China and Mexico as his enemies, but Germany, a nation of exports, is likely to be third on that list. No other large economy is more reliant on the free exchange of goods and services, on border-free trade, and barrier-free exports than the German economy. Here again, we've been harping on this. Richard Palmer at Trumpet Hour over and again. This is an attack on the German model. It says here, it is becoming apparent that Trump's presidency represents a break in the transatlantic relationship, the kinds of which hasn't been seen since World War II, with a U.S. president who openly threatens a German carmaker with punitive tariffs of 35%, one who warns that the Germans were very unfair to the U.S. It could even mark a shift from friendship to animosity. I mean, these are strong statements coming from mainstream media in Germany. Here's what they're talking about. Here's what they're up in arms over. Here's what has them riled up. I mean, this could be a shift from friendship to animosity. You want to go and study Ezekiel 23 sometime? And see what happens at the very end of this loving relationship. America's lovers. For so long, it's been so good as we've built up Germany. We've rebuilt the nation, in fact. And we've provided security guarantees so that the nation could prosper. And now, Donald Trump, one man, doing what so many in America would say, well, it's long overdue. We need to think about ourselves and our own problems first. We've got so many. But how is this seen in foreign capitals? How is this America first? How is this America first new age of protectionism approach seen in Berlin, in Germany? Well, it says here in corporate headquarters and in Angela Merkel's chancellery, Executives and government officials are considering how best to stand up to the challenge. They're working up a plan. You can be sure they're drawing up plans for this trade war that's coming. They know it's coming. And they've got to be prepared to stand up to the challenge. Spiegel says, either way, with the world looking more fragile than it has in quite some time, there's a lot at stake. The consequences of an economic crisis or even a trade war would likely be disastrous for Germany, particularly with elections approaching in autumn. Right-wing populists who would love to see Trumpism imported to Germany would be certain to take advantage of any economic downturn by posing as the champions of the victims of globalization. And what have we said for years, for decades? You could go back to Mr. Armstrong and statements he made in the 1980s and the 1960s that it would most likely be an economic crisis that brings the 10 kings together. One final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. And that economic crisis could be brought on by a massive trade war. They'd love to see German-style nationalism. There's a difference, remember. Carolyn Glick brought this out last week. A huge difference between nationalism in Germany and nationalism in the United States. An economic downturn. When we see that starting to happen in Germany, look out. Look out, this article, as I say, it's got so many strong statements. It's a long one at that, probably 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 words. But let me just move along toward the end of it here to give you just a little bit more. First, this bit here about how dependent Germany is on exports to keep its economy going. It says recently Germany registered a record surplus in global foreign trade, exporting 260 billion euros more than it imported, an amount equal to 8% of the gross domestic product. Trade in goods with the United States in particular flourished with some 54 billion euros of the total export surplus originating from America. So that you've got this massive imbalance. And many in America are upset by that. Donald Trump, most notable among them. You've got this massive imbalance. And there's one way to look at it if you're an American, and then there's another way to look at it if you're German. And what Spiegel points out later on is that the global economic order of today, or the post-World War II global economic order, it's over. It's history. It's gone. And so what do we got to do? Well, we've got to come up with a strategy to stand against this movement, to stand against Donald Trump, to stand up to the challenge. That's what we see happening in Europe. This is what has Europe up in arms. It says later on, officials have been seeking to determine the possible effects of Trump's brash announcements and his first official acts as president and the effect that they'll have on the German economy. Listen to this one. It says what they have determined is this. These are the high-ranking officials. These are the top business leaders. What they have determined is this. If the world's most powerful man isolates the U.S. domestic market, German economic growth, depending on the scope of Trump's trade barriers, could shrink by up to 0.75 points. Experts within the ministry are horrified. They're horrified by some of these steps that the Trump administration is taking already. And if he follows through on some of these declarations, Germany's going to have to get ready for a slump, an economic downturn. Now, let me read you this. And see if this doesn't remind you of something we've talked about on this program, even recently. It says, in order to prevent the situation from deteriorating that dramatically, the government in Berlin is already exploring alternatives to transatlantic trade. German politicians, focusing on trade issues, followed with interest the reactions triggered by Trump's decision to halt talks on TPP, which would have created a giant Asian-free trade zone with the United States. Australia and New Zealand have announced that they intend to forge ahead without the U.S. and even possibly establish the economic zone with China instead. Berlin is also laying plans to ensure that German companies might profit to the greatest extent possible from such a deal. A string of trade deals with countries across the Pacific boom region is envisioned, providing access to German companies. And so as Germany turns away from the transatlantic trade, it's looking east. It's looking to the Pacific boom region. It's looking to China. It says here, a little under 6 years ago, the EU reached an initial trade deal with South Korea. Since then, German exports to the country have risen by about 50%, but improved ties with China would hold even greater promise. It says a new Berlin-Beijing alliance could, in part at least, supplant the old transatlantic order. Out with the old and in with the new. Times of the Gentiles, the end of that Anglo-American world order, the end of Anglo-American dominance. That's what we're heading into. And who's talked to you about this Berlin-Beijing alliance? It's written about right there in our Ezekiel booklet, Ezekiel the End Time Prophet. Read it for yourself. Read what my father had to say. Read how my father described the decline of our nations, the downfall of our nations. He said in his Ezekiel booklet, this devastating military attack of Hosea 5:5, all three nations, remember, they fall together. The pride of Israel does testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity, and Judah falls with them. That's what the prophecy says. And my father said this devastating military attack of Hosea 5:5 will occur 13 months after the German-led European Union forms an alliance with the nations of Asia to besiege the Anglo-Saxon nations. How do they besiege the Anglo-Saxon nations? Well, before the military attack comes the economic siege. He says later, these tidings... He's talking about Daniel 11 and verse 44. When the European superpower, the beast power, when it hears tidings out of the east and then takes swift action, because those kings of the east are a little slower moving. And so the German-led beast power takes swift action. That's what Daniel 11 says. And my father writes here, these tidings come after the king of the south has been destroyed. They come after, or rather from, the Asian axis. The Holy Roman Empire will be disturbed about what the Russians and Chinese are doing. Before this, when the tribulation began, this emperor, or the emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, was cooperating with the Russians and Chinese to besiege the Anglo-Saxon nations economically. That's what happened before the tribulation, just before those two band together. The king of the north there in Europe, and then the kings of the east, Russia and China, and the two of them together besiege the United States and Britain. And it's brought on economically. It's astounding. It's astounding, really, the accuracy of these prophecies, of these quotes. Right there in Ezekiel, the end time prophet. What a powerful booklet. A couple more statements here right at the end of this Spiegel piece, this long one. It says, and Germany seems willing to cast its gaze eastwards. Europe should quickly begin working on a new Asian strategy. See, it's all happening so fast. It's all happening so fast. The impact of this new administration in the United States. I mean, he's only been in office, what, a week and a half? A week and a half. and Europe, led by Germany, working quickly on an alliance with China. Spiegel says here, finally, it could very well be that the attacks from Washington, the attacks from Washington, will provide exactly the push that the crippled European project needs so badly. Europe is crippled. Europe lost its security blanket. Europe's economy is in danger. And so it's time to form new alliances. It's time for Europe to look elsewhere, somewhere other than the United States. And Donald Trump, the attack brought on by Trump, may provide exactly the push that this crippled European project needs. It says in Spiegel, for the German economy in particular, the greatest potential still lies in trade with its oldest and closest trade partners. Well, it mentions its European partners. But now they're looking abroad at other opportunities, in particular, this Berlin-Beijing alliance. Go back and read. I forget which chapter it's in. It's on pages 56 through 59, I believe, somewhere there in the fourth or fifth chapter of the Ezekiel booklet, about those tidings coming out of the East and this European-Asian alliance, this cooperation between Europe and Asia to besiege the Anglo-Saxon nations economically. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. When we come back, we'll roll through a few of the emails that have come in over the last few days. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily Radio Show airs every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time on KPCG 101.3 FM in Edmond, Oklahoma.
For an easy-to-read, information-rich news brief, join the growing readership of the Trumpet Weekly. Now you can enjoy all the top news stories from the previous week condensed into a report combining the commentary, analysis, and reporting you've come to expect from thetrumpet.com sent directly to your email. Subscribing is completely free. Simply visit the Trumpet Weekly section of thetrumpet.com to subscribe by email today.
The Trumpet Daily.
Just a few emails here over the last few days. This one here comes from Oregon. Since the inauguration of our new president, Mr. Trump, in the United States, these shows on thetrumpet.com have been absolutely fantastic in covering these events. They've been moving and inspiring. They've been tearjerkers if one understands the significance and depth of the messages. I have to say, it really does warm my heart to see the closeness between these two, the United States and Britain. This is in response to Friday's program. It's beautiful to see, after so many years of disrespect and abandonment on the part of the U.S., it says, I really appreciate all the coverage from the inauguration and the Reagan Bible to the rekindled special relationship, all the montages, and most of all, the prophetic implications of everything that's going on. That's from Portland, Oregon, one of our listeners there in the great Northwest. Another one here. This one doesn't say where it comes from, but it says it is from the Philippines. He says, I've been an avid listener to your program for about 2 years now. Ever since I found out about the program via the Trumpet website, I forced myself to learn to use the Apple Podcast application to download your programs and listen whenever I can. I'm writing to thank you for the excellent program where I'm kept updated on the current events from the Bible prophecy perspective. I admit that I am not most obedient in following God's law to the T, but I am doing my best to keep my focus on doing God's will and to guide my family to God's way of life. God has been very good to me and my family. I acknowledge that I would not have this blessing and in my situation if it was not for Him He has blessed me tremendously. And stumbling into your program is an excellent example of God giving me the opportunity to get to know him better. It says, I'm very grateful for your program's very insightful and honest feedback, not only about what's happening to the world, but also being straightforward with how we should be living for God. This keeps me in line with what is right according to God. I like your approach to the program, the way you deliver the message. I also like the fact that everybody pitches in to cover for you when you're unavailable. They have their own style of delivering the message, and I love it. My wife has started listening to your program, and I also share relevant programs to my kids as well. That comes from one of our listeners in the Philippines. Another one here from one of our regulars in Alaska, the beautiful state of Alaska, as he often says. It's cold up here, but it's filled with God's wonderful nature, a gorgeous place to live if you can stand the climate. It would be cold. I wanted to say that Mr. Trump's first week in office is interesting, to say the least. It seems he has been signing executive orders left and right since he was sworn in. I don't think President Obama was so quick to place a kingly mantle in the form of a pen and a phone on himself, although he has set unprecedented precedent. So now the office of president is just a blatant smokescreen for kingly powers for 4 to 8 years, exactly what the founders were trying to prevent, it says. And yet the Republicans are not saying a word. So a good job there of pointing out, again, some of the hypocrisy which you see coming from both sides, for sure. Well, that's all that we have time for today. If you'd like to email the program, you can send those comments to td@kpcg.fm. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you tomorrow.